on Norm Shealy. Norm Shealy. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Hi, this is Eva Herr, and welcome to my show tonight. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. We have a great topic continuing on with our heart segment this week. We have Dr. Amy Yatsko, and we're going to talk about methylation, a topic that to me is quite complicated, but Dr. Yatsko does a really good job of making it understandable for the average person because it's a very important thing, and I believe the door to early detection and prevention in many diseases and health problems. Welcome, Dr. Yatsko, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I know you're really busy.
Thank you, Eva, for the invitation, and I totally appreciate this opportunity to chat with you and your listeners.
So before we get started, why don't you take a couple minutes to tell people where they can find you and who you are so they know why you have something to say on this topic.
In terms of finding me, if you look under Dr. Amy Yatsko on Facebook, you can see me there. I have a website, dramyyatsko.com. Some of the tests and supplements that I utilize in my program are carried by holistichealer.com. I also have articles, books, workbooks up on Scribd online, and all of the DVDs and PowerPoints and materials for the program are something that I offer online at no cost so that everyone has access to them. And the links for all of those are either on my website or on the Facebook page.
Would you mind spelling your name just to make sure your website name so everybody gets it right?
Sure. Amy, and then the last name is Yatsko.
Great. Thank you. And how did you come to do what it is that you do? What is your background?
My background was actually very traditional initially. I received my PhD from Albany Medical College in microbiology, immunology, and infectious diseases. I then did a fellowship in pediatric immunology at Strong Memorial Hospital and another fellowship at Strong Memorial in cancer research and then a third fellowship at Yale Medical Center. And after that, I was involved in several biotechnology companies looking at ways to take molecular products and apply them in a pharmaceutical or biotech setting. And around that point, after I had been in biotech and pharmaceutical for quite a while, we moved to a very rural section of Maine. And I think I made an intellectual shift just as we made a physical shift and decided to get natural health degrees and look at ways to use natural products to balance the same pathways in the body that I had been looking at before through biotech and pharmaceutical means. And so what I've been doing for over a dozen years now is working in a rural area of Maine, but via the internet, able to help people all over the world to use natural herbs and supplements to reach balance in their body, taking advantage of these biochemical pathways that I learned about through more traditional means.
Okay. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I am.
Okay. To start off with, what is methylation so that we even know what we're talking about and why we need to pay attention to it? What is that thing?
A methyl group is a small molecule, basically like water. And just as we're all really comfortable with the concept of water, a methyl group is just some carbons, which are what's in coal or diamonds, and a hydrogen, like what's in water. And so this very small little group can be moved around in your body and attached to your DNA to change the way pathways or your DNA behaves in the body. And this is one of the central ways that your body uses as an editing function to correct or alter things that go out of balance in your body. And so one way to look at it is like your editing function on your computer. When you spell something wrong in a Word document, your editing function will allow you to change and fix it. It's not a permanent typing error back when we used to use regular typewriters. And so being able to add methyl groups to your DNA, but also to other components in your body, gives your body some latitude to fix things that go wrong, and in particular helps with genetics that you might have inherited that aren't necessarily ideal.
Okay. And how do we find out? I know, before you start, I know I want to just go ahead and say this. Many people dispute the accuracy of tests that we can do. But I personally did this test that you have, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago. And today, I went back and looked at it about 3 or 4 months ago, and it's 100% accurate with everything in my life, if I had only have listened. So now, go ahead. How do we know? I mean, how do we find out if we have a methylation problem?
There are genetic tests that you can use that look at the pathways in the body that are related to this cycle that I call the methylation cycle. And there's a number of different tests available. Some of them use saliva, some use blood, some are tests that you can do in the privacy of your own home. There are ones where you can go to your doctor for a blood draw in order to have the genes analyzed. But the pathways are very well-known pathways that are nutritional pathways in the body that actually certain basic building blocks of protein as well as B vitamins use these pathways. So the pathways are very well-known in nutrition. They're very well-defined. And where the genes, where the information, the DNA sits in these pathways is also very well-known. And so what these tests let you know is if you have a block somewhere in one of these pathways or, in your case, even multiple sites in this pathway. And in my new book that's coming out this fall, it's called Roadmap to Health. And what I try to do in there is make analogies between driving a car and the roads we traverse in a car to the methylation cycle, because driving a car is something everyone understands. And if you think about your genes and your DNA as your car that you're given at birth, and this is what you've got, and it's got to last you a lifetime. And some of us get a car that's in better shape than others. But how we take care of that car and how we service it and how we drive it will all impact how long it lasts and how well it functions. And so just because you may have an imbalance in one of these pathways in terms of your genetics, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to have certain health problems. And so I think that's what you're referring to, is that when you ran this test, there were warning signs in the genetic test that maybe suggested certain nutritional changes you could make in your life to lower your predisposition for some of the heart problems that you had. And so it's a combination of predisposing genetics along with environmental toxins and what we eat and the nutrition we take in and how we live our life that combine together to create a state of health or lack of health.
So, and you have my permission to talk about my test, because everybody else has. We've been talking about my health because I can only help other people through my personal experience. That's the only way I know how to do it. So if we're doing this segment on early detection, prevention, and treatment of the heart with holistic mechanisms. Now, I want to say this, even though Dr. Yatsko is a doctor, I'm not, and neither one of us is attempting to treat or diagnose your problem. The information that we're giving you on this radio show tonight is just exactly that, informational purposes only. Don't do something because we say it. Do your homework, go to your physician, get your testing, and use the information to help yourself. We're not trying to treat or diagnose. I just want to make that clear. So what to focus on heart disease, where would we start?
Well, I think it's reasonably common knowledge at this point that the buildup of certain components in your body, whether it's high cholesterol or high homocysteine, is tied to heart disease. And the ability of your body to process one of those, homocysteine, is very tied to the cycle that we talk about. And the methylation cycle is almost like having a series of traffic circles that are joined together. And if you can get through those circles properly, everything is flowing, nothing is building up. In your case, you have a mutation in both copies of a gene that's central to these cycles being able to function. And so you are what would be considered plus plus. In other words, both copies of the DNA are affected for something called MTHFR-C677T. And the best way to visualize that is assume that there's two lanes on a highway, and you've got an accident in both lanes. And so it makes it very hard for your system to get around that traffic circle if there are accidents in both lanes of the highway. And so because this is a nutritional pathway, what we can do is take a detour around those accidents and add something, a nutritional supplement, so that we're bypassing where the accident is so that the pathway can flow more easily. And because this is such an important pathway in the body, there's more than one way to get around this cycle, so that we can go the long way around or we can take a shortcut. And there's nutritional support that can be utilized to do that too. And so what I try to do when I get genetic tests for someone is also run a series of follow-up biochemical non-invasive tests, urine tests, stool tests, hair tests, so that we can see at this moment in time what's going on in your system. And then once we have that basic information, after we use nutritional supplements, we can go back later and run the test again and be certain that what we've added is having the effect that we want. Because your genetics won't change, so that double accident on the highway is never going to go away. But the biochemistry, our ability to change how your body is getting around that accident, is something that we can change with support and supplementation.
So do you want to talk about how, because I know we have a lot of people listening that have this problem and other heart-related problems. Do you want to talk about, give them hope? Because I have to tell you something. When I start looking at this, sometimes I get hopeless. And I'm doing great, but I know I still have some issues. But when I read your stuff, it gives me hope that I don't have to die tomorrow or next week. And Stephen Sinatra's stuff and Dr. St. Cyr and Ralph Hallsworth, it gives me hope to hear all of you tell us things that we can do when our physicians, our allopathic physicians, say, either you're a dead woman. So how would somebody start that has super high homocysteine or ammonia in their urine? Because as a matter of fact, that'd probably be a good place to start. What are some early symptoms? How would they know?
And how would you get started? And first of all, I do believe there's hope. And when I write posts and when I handwrite on the tests that I comment on, I sign it with love and hope because I really do believe there's hope. And what's exciting to me about this pathway is that it's a nutritional pathway, so there's something we can do to get around the problems. I'm not a believer in genetic testing that gives you information that you can't act on, because I don't think that's fair. This is a pathway that's very well known, that we know we can do things to get it working and functioning again, and we have ways to monitor that progress is being made. What I usually like to do, and I ask everyone to work in conjunction with their own doctor, I share my information and my time at no charge. I share all my resources at no charge. And then the goal is for you to take that information and implement it in conjunction with your own doctor. But something like a urine amino acid test, so that you can be looking at the levels of some of these building blocks in your body and looking at not just what happens with your homocysteine levels, but other intermediates in this pathway. And so it's a long word, but something called phosphatidylserine is a product that is measured on a urine amino acid test. And that helps your body to bypass some of those mutations, some of those accidents on the highway by a shortcut through the cycle, so that your body has another way to process homocysteine if you have a block in the route around the cycle, such as you do, Eva. And there's been a lot of research using what's called these phospholipids to help with memory and stress, as well as supporting the shortcut in the cycle. And so one thing that your listeners could do is run something like a urine amino acid test with their doctor, look at their phospholipid levels. If they're too low, and I expect they most likely will be, they can use a supplement to supplement their phosphatidylserine levels as well as their other phospholipids, and then rerun that test again 6 or 8 weeks later and see for themselves if that value has changed, but also take a look at what's happening with their homocysteine levels in the process, that that's being processed properly.
So what supplement would it be that they would most likely take?
For the shortcut around the cycle, there are phosphatidylserine complex, which is a mixture, and it's going to be a lot of words here, but phosphatidylserine, phosphatidylethanolamine, phosphatidylcholine, and it's all in a gel cap. And these are nutritional supplements, and again, you always want to work with and defer to your doctor, but it's the fastest way to get your methylation cycle moving and working in a way that that is a shortcut without having to directly address the double accident on the highway such as you have. There are also certain forms of B vitamins that will actually get you around, like a detour around the block on the long route around the cycle. And so we're all familiar with folate as a type of B vitamin, but people who have the mutations that you do, Eva, can't process folate properly. But there are certain types of folate, like 5-methyl tetrahydrofolate, that get around that block. And so one of the things I've done in the past year in conjunction with our very good mutual friend, Dr. Mark Nouveau, is to put together a general vitamin that has low levels of all of these nutrients in them to help to support and bypass mutations in the pathway as well as to support the shortcut. But there are other companies and other places where you can get these same supplements from. I don't want to be an advertisement for my general vitamin. But what you would be looking for the long route to get around that double accident on the highway is 5-methyl tetrahydrofolate. And that's something that you're seeing more and more in vitamins these days because people recognize the importance of it. Also,
go ahead.
Well, for anyone who's taking prescription medication to pull down high cholesterol, because oftentimes when someone has heart problems, they're on medication for high cholesterol. And one of the nutritional supports that really helps in conjunction with whatever you're taking for cholesterol is to use CoQ10. There have been studies that indicate that CoQ10 levels are not ideal in people who are taking medication to deal with high cholesterol. And so one way around that is to use CoQ10 for support.
Do you recommend CoQ10 or something like ubiquinol, or does it matter?
I'm pretty neutral on it. Mark has done a number of studies, and really the most important thing is to look at the solubility of the product that you're using. He's developed an oral spray that has some amazing oral bioavailability, but there are other products out there, and the big thing is you just want to make sure that it's absorbed by your system properly in order for it to have a positive benefit to offset some of the side effects of medication for cholesterol.
Okay. I would like to ask you about detoxing, because I didn't really get that part of it, and ask me how I learned that it was a terrible thing. Oh, man, it was miserable. And sometimes I still do it. It kind of goes in and out. I found that with the B12, I have to, like, chip the tablets off, but I can't get my head around what does the folate do and what does the B12 do, and why do I have these horrible burning feet and hands and arms and back sometimes, and sometimes I don't. What's happening with that?
All of us, through the course of our lifetimes, are exposed to toxins, whether it's in the food we eat or things that are injected into us or things that we breathe. I almost look at our way to get rid of toxins like a revolving door on an office building. And if our methylation cycle, this pathway I've been talking about, is working properly, toxins come in, toxins come back out. They don't accumulate. But if we've gone a lifetime with this cycle not functioning properly, not only do we have homocysteine building up and are at greater risk for other health conditions, but we have a greater likelihood that these toxins have been building in our system. And so if I give you supplements that clear the accidents off both highways at the same time, it's like pulling the plug out of the dike, and all of these toxins that have been building in your system for years and years are ready to be excreted and flow from your system, and that's not comfortable. And so that's part of the reason why, especially in working with adults, I look to support the shortcut first, the phosphatidylserine route that I talked about before, because that tends not to trigger detox. And so in adults, it's an easy way to get the cycle moving without triggering detox. And the reason I developed this general vitamin that we call all-in-one with Mark is that it has such low doses of the nutrients you need to support the long route that if you took only one capsule a day, it won't trigger detox, but it gives you just little sprinkles of bare minimum support so that your pathway is functioning. And so that has been a very new addition to the program over the course of the past year, to come up with something that will allow the pathway to function without triggering detox. The other piece of detox, and it's something I've been talking about a lot over the past year or two, is for people to look at lithium levels. Hair metal test lithium is something you can run with your doctor. I would say that over 90% of the adults that I see their tests have such low lithium that it borders on undetectable.
Wow.
And a little known role of lithium is lithium helps in B12 transport. So that if you're adding B12 and your lithium is already horrendously low, then you're running the risk of your depleting your lithium even further. And I suspect that for a number of adults who add B12 without looking at lithium levels first, some of the non-ideal effects that they feel have nothing whatsoever to do with the B12, but have to do with low lithium. And so...
I was just going to say, really, that's interesting.
Yes, and so I've been talking about this more and more because no one else has been recognizing this relationship. And so the route that I take, especially with adults who've had a lifetime of toxin accumulation in their system, is to start out by supporting the shortcut because I'm not worried about detox. Run a hair metal test, or you could run a blood lithium test with your doctor also. Make sure your lithium levels are in balance before you look to add any additional B12. And use something like the all-in-one general vitamin to lay a very low-level nutritional groundwork while you're waiting to get your lithium results back, or while you're looking to add more lithium in a natural form to your system prior to adding additional B12. And so that should help to offset some of the symptoms you're talking about by just kind of diving headfirst into this pathway.
So what symptoms is the low lithium that you could feel or observe?
Mood swings, certainly. In younger children, we see a lot more aggression. But also, if you're taking B12, and you have very high blood levels of B12, but if you ran something like a urine essential element test that shows you cobalt, and the source of cobalt in your system is B12, so if you're taking B12 and you have high blood levels of B12, but you run a urine essential element test and there's no cobalt, the first thing I'm going to think is that you don't have sufficient lithium to transport that B12 from your blood into other areas of your system.
Well, that's exactly what I had. I had some outrageous number of B12, and my doctor go, "Oh, your B12 levels look great." Now I know that that means something, that I had outrageous levels of B12.
Yeah,
because I wasn't supplementing. It was just up there.
Right, and it wasn't getting where it needed to go. And that's why, again, one of the things I really, really emphasize, especially there's a whole marketing campaign going on now for a number of these genetic tests to look at imbalances in your body. And that's lovely to have the information about your predisposing genetics and the car you were born with and where all the defects are. But here and now today, running some of these non-invasive biochemical tests or running some of the blood work with your doctor to find out, how are you doing now? Where are you today? And in the book, the analogy I give is, if you were driving from California and you wanted to go to my hometown in Maine, and you know where you need to go, and you call me 3 hours into the trip and you say, "I'm lost." And I go, "Where are you?" And you say, "I don't know." And I say, "Well, what does the road sign say?" And you say, "I don't know. I didn't look at the road sign." I can't get you from there to here if I don't know what the road signs are. I don't know where you are. And that's the value of these biochemical tests, to say, how are we doing? Not just what were we born with. It's a combination of both.
You know, one of the good things that I liked about your test that you did, you don't just tell me which things that are flipped on or off. You give solutions in your test. You know, you talk about, you say, okay, you have this problem with this gene, but then you give the whole pages and pages about which supplements and what you need to do with your diet to get started on fixing it. And that's a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you. I mean, I feel really, really strongly that any of us who suggest genetic testing have an obligation to have an answer for people in terms of how to deal with what we see, and again, to give them hope, because I wouldn't want to be given a test result that says, "This is wrong," and then no way to do anything about it.
I'm afraid, I don't want to get off on this topic because I will, but I'm afraid, like Angelina Jolie got that genetic test and then had her breast cut off. Doctors don't tell you that there's something you can do if your genes are messed up. And I'm so afraid that all these people are going to run out and start cutting off organs. when they get these tests.
I worry about that also. And I know the focus of the program today is on heart disease, but one of the other things that this pathway is involved in is helping to silence cancer genes. In my personal opinion, getting your methylation cycle, this set of traffic circles on your highway working, is probably the best thing you can do for overall health and wellness, because it impacts your nervous system, and that's why I work so much with autism or adults with chronic fatigue, and in the past I worked with adults with Parkinson's and MS, or heart disease, or cancer prevention. And so for me, it's more important to look at this pathway and see where your imbalance is, where are your roadblocks, and then how do we get around them to get it functioning again so that we lower our genetic risk factors for having a whole range of health problems in the future. Because I agree with you completely about the concerns in terms of how people are going to react to genetic testing if they don't have an understanding and advice to understand that there are things you can do.
So let's talk a minute about liver. I know that I have some issues with liver, and many people do for many reasons. Talk a minute about how you get that pathway cleared out, and then I'd like to talk about some of the indications, and I'll go there in just a minute. So let's just go ahead and talk about liver for a few minutes. How do you get the stuff out of your liver and make that BH4 work?
Okay, BH4 is a product that your body makes, and it's what your body needs to convert some of the building blocks in the food you eat into your feel-good neurotransmitters, so that when you eat turkey and you want to make that tryptophan into feel-good serotonin, it requires something called BH4. And when you eat something with tyrosine in it and you want to make that into dopamine so that you have energy and motivation, that also requires BH4. And there are certain mutations in this pathway that impact the ability of the body to regenerate BH4. And thankfully, you do not have those. But in addition, aluminum in your system and other toxic metals cripple the recycling of BH4. And so there are certain supplements that you can take. I have certain specially compounded ones that Dr. Navu has formulated for me to help to give the body the building blocks that it needs to regenerate naturally BH4. But there's pharmaceutical products that you can use. There's prescription BH4. There's also homeopathic BH4. I'm also a strong believer in things like oral liver, supplements that help to support the liver directly, and nutritional supplements such as glutathione that are components of the liver that are important for liver function. And so those are easy ways to support the liver that shouldn't be triggering detox. I mean, it does get us back to the concept of detox in that if you have a lot of toxins in your body, you're putting a greater burden on your liver and your kidneys. And that's why ultimately you'd like to slowly, gently and slowly get the toxins out of your system, not, pulling the plug on the dike all at once. And that's why you want to ease into support for the system.
So going back to folate and B12 again, are you supposed to balance them out together, or how do you know how much to take of which one? Does that make sense?
I understand what you're asking. I'm a strong believer in less is better. The body is such a complex organ, and there's so many intertwining and interrelated pathways that I believe in using small amounts of a large number of supplements to help the body do what it would normally do. And so I know there's a lot of programs that use very high doses of 5-methyl-THF, which is the special form of folate to bypass the mutations such as you have, and use very high dose B12. And I do suggest higher doses of B12 when we're in the detox phase, when we're working, for instance, with autistic children or some of the adults. But if you're just trying to support your system and you're not looking to detox, I would be looking at lower amounts. That's why I designed the all-in-one vitamin, to have a very small amount of those supplements, to have special forms of B12, to have the special forms of folate, to have a very low dose of lithium, to have a very low dose of something called intrinsic factor, so that your body can take in the B12, so that you don't need to be using massive amounts. The other thing with B12 is to think about the form of B12. A number of vitamins use what's called cyano-B12, which is a cyanide molecule coupled to the B12. And they use that because it's inexpensive and it's very stable. And your body will, in fact, get rid of the cyanide, but that's yet one more thing your body has to do. The supplements that we've designed with Dr. Mark are hydroxymethyl and adenosyl B12. So they're special forms of B12 that your body can utilize where you don't need to get rid of the cyanide molecule. Then in terms of how much and how do you know if you have enough in your system, there are non-invasive tests you can look at. So you can be looking at your cobalt levels on a urine essential element test. You could look at cobalt levels on a hair metal test. You could look at intermediates in the methylation pathway on a urine amino acid test. You could look at things like FIGLU and MMA on a metabolic analysis pathway, and those values will be very high on a MAP test if you don't have sufficient function for your methylation cycle. So that, again, I believe in using small amounts, work with your doctor, and then run tests to double-check and make sure that the support that you're using is adequate, and use the testing as your feedback system to be certain that what you're doing is being effective. And again, I know I gave those links in the beginning, but I have hours of talks and videos that are available online at no charge that go back over this. All of the PowerPoints are online at no charge. The workbooks online at no charge. The books and articles are all there, so that if you finish listening to this radio interview and you want more in-depth information, it's there and it's available. And all I ask is take it, read it, use it, and then work with your own doctor to implement it.
Could you also talk about folic acid, folate, MTHFR, folinic acid, and maybe a little bit about diet and grains that are supplemented with folic acid?
Folate or folic acid feeds into, if we think of these two cycles as traffic circles, but if we were to number them the way you would number a clock, folate or folic acid essentially feeds into the left-hand traffic circle at 12 o'clock. And where the problem comes in is that if we take our left-hand traffic circle and we go around in a counterclockwise direction, at roughly, let's say, 7 o'clock is where someone who has these two MTHFR mutations like you do, Eva, the C677T mutations, it's as if that clock is blocked at around 7 o'clock. And so the folate that someone like myself who does not have that mutation could use and get these cycles to function, in your case, you're stuck and you can't get beyond that point in order to get around these two traffic circles. And so if you use a special form of folate called 5-methyl tetrahydrofolate or 5-methyl-THF, what that does is it feeds into that left-hand traffic circle after the block. And so it just completely bypasses your mutation. And so it's as if your body was able to use folate and get through without a problem what it would do after processing at MTHFR would be to make 5-methyl-THF. And so that's the beauty of this, that just because you have two mutations there doesn't mean it's hopeless. We just know, because it's a nutritional pathway, that you can skip around it and add something that feeds in after the block that you have. Now, folinic acid is another form of folate, and it helps to keep things in the cycle, in these traffic circles that we want, because there's another detour kind of to nowhere that depletes these cycles. And you happen to have that detour to nowhere also, and that's the SHMT mutation. And so the reason we want to use low levels of folinic is it shunts things back into these two traffic circles where we want all our nutrients flowing, instead of diverting things to a detour to nowhere. And so again, back to the all-in-one vitamin, I use low levels of folinic and low levels of 5-methyl-THF along with the special forms of B12 and low-dose lithium and intrinsic, so that we're blanketing all the aspects of this pathway to make sure we're filling in nutritionally in a very low level so as not to trigger detox.
Can you use folate? I mean, can I, or someone that has what I have, get it from food? Is it because I'm not eating enough, or I just can't use it from food?
Actually, one of the best sources, naturally, of 5-methyl-tetrahydrofolate, which is the form you need, would be to eat eggs, if you tolerate eggs. I wouldn't go too high with the eggs, because you might trigger detox. You don't want your levels to go too high. But eggs are one of the lovely natural sources, and that makes it nice for vegetarians also, to have a natural supply of the type of folate your system would need.
Okay. Is it the whole, I can't eat the, I don't like the yellow part. Is it the whole part, or can I just eat the white part?
To be honest, I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll figure that out. So then we have about 12 minutes. Maybe a little bit longer. My producer said we could go over. What do you think we need to talk about? Anything that we've left out?
No, I think we've touched on everything. I would just reiterate the point about hope, that I think people shouldn't be scared to find out what's going on in these nutritional pathways. The test that I use, the one that you took, focuses just on this pathway, because I only want to give information when I have an answer for it. There's other tests out there that do give this information as well as additional information. But even if you saw problems in other pathways, I don't think that one needs to take extreme steps. This is one of the chapters in the book, and one of the talks that I give is to say why you should be concerned about methylation. And basically, getting these traffic circles in your body functioning plays a role, whether it's in a risk for heart disease or stroke or Down syndrome, neural tube defects, everything from Parkinson's to Huntington's disease to autism to chronic fatigue to predisposition to cancer. And so it's a wonderful thing that nature has provided such a central pathway that's a nutritional pathway that we can support to help to get our bodies healthier, and that we can use non-invasive testing to follow up and make sure that the nutrition we're adding is having the desired effect. And so I really do think your listeners should feel hopeful about changing the course of their health, that they really can be on a roadmap to health. And that's true regardless of age. I don't think you're ever too young or too old to be supporting and supplementing this pathway to get on the route to health.
Thank God for you people, that's all I can say. I mean, it's so great to know that you have hope. So since we have a few minutes then, I ran across, I got an email from someone who has, they had a neurotransmitter test, and it came back with GABA, well, let's see, I know the taurine was off the charts, the GABA was high, the glutamate was low, and the person would terribly rage, and then go into deep, dark depression. So I wondered what you had to say about that, because you talked about that in your book, that very same thing.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we didn't talk about yet tonight was high taurine levels, and there is another exit out of our traffic circles that depletes everything in your methylation cycle and causes very high taurine levels. And so that would be the starting point with their doctor to try to get taurine levels back in balance through supplementation so that the methylation cycle was in a position to fill in better. The other thing is anyone who's experiencing any sort of rage issues or mood swings, one of the first things I would do would be to run either a blood lithium or hair metal test lithium level, because this person may be supplementing B12, and I would suspect they're supplementing their methylation cycle or taurine wouldn't be climbing. If your cycle was empty, even if you're diverting it, you're not going to see anything. It's like a highway that has no cars on it. It doesn't matter if there's a detour. But if you've got bumper-to-bumper traffic on that highway and now you detour those cars off that highway, you're going to have traffic flowing through that detour. And so the fact that taurine is high says that that person is supplementing their methylation cycle. And if they're doing so, they probably are supplementing B12, and they may very well have very, very low lithium. And so that would be something that I would certainly take a look at. In terms of the imbalance between glutamate and GABA, I'd need to take a look at what supplements they were using, because that actually doesn't make a lot of sense to me, especially with the comment about rage. The one thing that does come to mind is that they probably should also take a look at their molybdenum levels, because molybdenum levels do play a role in your body's use of GABA. And the step in the pathway just past taurine is your body's ability to process sulfur groups. A lot of people are sulfite-sensitive asthmatics or have trouble processing sulfites. And the ability to process sulfites requires B12, which means you want to look at your lithium levels, and it also requires molybdenum. And if everything is funneling through taurine, it's probably putting a lot of pressure on the next step, which would be sulfite processing, and so it may be that molybdenum levels are also very low. And so that, you know, that may be another piece of the puzzle. As a side note, a project I got involved in a few years ago was making a healthy energy drink that had no taurine and no caffeine and no artificial stimulants and no artificial sugars. And the product that we've made in Maine, it's called Black Bear, and what it basically is molybdenum and B12, so that your body's in a position to process things like that very high-dose taurine that this person is dealing with.
So what makes the taurine shoot up? I thought taurine was an inhibitory neurotransmitter. Why do they rage?
Because taurine is calming, but like anything else, you want it in balance. Too much of anything can throw things out of balance. And so if you go back to thinking about your methylation cycle as two traffic circles that touch and attach, and look at the right-hand traffic circle and just make an arrow coming down from it, and it goes to taurine. And so what it means to me, listening to that test result, is if taurine is that high, if taurine is sky high, you're depleting your methylation cycle, because the spigot at the bottom of the right-hand cycle that's supposed to keep your intermediates in this traffic circle is open, and everything's flowing to taurine. And so we've got taurine way too high. That's going to make your glutathione, which you need for detox, way too low, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on your system to have be able to process the sulfur groups that come from the taurine. So it means that you've depleted your methylation cycle, and you've put a lot of pressure on your B12 and your molybdenum when taurine's that high.
So does that mean they need B12 or they don't need it? I don't understand.
They likely are supporting B12 already, but I'm guessing that their lithium is probably depleted. What I would suggest to that person is they work with a doctor, that they run a hair metal test and they run a blood test, and I would take a really close look at lithium and molybdenum, and also run some of the other tests that let you know if your methylation cycle is being depleted through taurine.
Okay, I understand. That's interesting. So I'd like to talk for you to go back to this heart thing now, and let's talk about some symptoms like midline deformities, and what is a midline deformity? You know, even though it's not deformed, it's still something that's there. So just give them people subtle symptoms that they can look for, like that B12, like mine being off the charts and my doctor going, oh, your B12 is great. Well, really, it wasn't great. Give them things to look for to help empower them to help themselves.
Okay.
Early symptoms.
Well, aside from the fact that energy may be an issue, and tingling and some of the other things you've spoken about, running a test so that you can look at your cobalt levels on a urine essential element test. Running a hair metal or a blood lithium test to look at lithium levels, running a metabolic analysis profile and looking at the intermediates in those pathways, because what a metabolic analysis profile looks at, and that's a urine test again, is the intermediates that your body uses for your mitochondria, which are what generate energy in your body. And so imbalances on a MAP test are going to be indicators that you need something like CoQ10, that you need something like carnitine, that your energy production system in all the cells in your body isn't functioning optimally. Looking at homocysteine levels in the blood, looking at homocysteine levels on a urine amino acid test. Additional types of testing that you can do, fecal testing, and even though most people think of a CSA test or a GI function test as just looking at the bad bacteria in your body, it will also let you know what's going on with cholesterol that you're excreting and short-chain fatty acids and triglycerides and if your body is processing those properly. And interestingly, people who have issues with very high triglycerides, that's very tied to lithium transport also. And so if your triglyceride levels are very high, one of the things, again, you want to take a look at is lithium levels. Looking to see the bacteria chlamydial pneumonia has been tied in some studies to heart disease. Taking a look at this CSA and GI function test to see, is that bacteria showing up in your system? And if so, using natural methods as well as prescription methodology if you need to get your intestinal tract back in balance to get rid of non-ideal gut bugs and to be supporting with normal flora. You have as many neurotransmitters in your gastrointestinal tract as you do in your brain, and they all talk to each other. And so just the ability to eliminate properly and get rid of toxins, looking at some of those values. And so I think that what I like about these type of non-invasive tests is that you can supplement, let's say we talked about before with CoQ10, and then watch values get back into balance on a follow-up MAP test. Or in the case of the individual with the high taurine, supplement with nutrients to pull those taurine levels down and rerun a test, see that you're feeling better, and tie it together with biochemical testing that supports the fact that you've made a positive difference.
And what nutrients would that person need? Consider?
The one with a very high taurine.
Mm-hmm.
The CBS supplements designed to help with excess activity of the CBS gene, because that's the spigot that's sitting at the bottom of the cycle, that if it's too far open, your taurine levels will go sky high. I mean, the other thing to look at too is the individual with the really high taurine drinking a lot of energy drinks that are loaded with taurine? I mean, the starting point always is, I always ask for a supplement list. What are you taking? What are you drinking? What are you eating that may be throwing your system completely out of balance without you even realizing it?
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So what about to move quickly back to the heart, one thing that happened to me very quickly that I wanted to ask you about, because now I notice it on everybody, is my muscle mass suddenly went away. And then it came back, and it looked almost like when I saw somebody and they said, Eva, have you been living at the gym? But recently it's gone back away when I started doing all this detox stuff. I don't know what I did, but something has changed. What makes that happen?
That gets back to the mitochondria we were just talking about, the MAP test. I would run a MAP test, because if you are not supporting with the proper nutrients for your mitochondria, they're the little energy-producing organelles inside every cell in your body. And so when people have what's called mitochondrial disease or mitochondrial disorder, they're very weak all the time. And so that would be one of the things you want to look at, is to make sure that your energy markers are looking in balance and filled in properly. Again, B12. If your B12 levels are sky high in the blood, but you're feeling weak, I would look at lithium levels to make sure that the B12 is getting where it actually needs to go. And then the other thing is aluminum. Aluminum is very toxic for your mitochondria. And so if you started detoxing and you stirred up aluminum, it could be temporarily impacting the function of the mitochondria, and you might need to be supporting your natural BH4 a little better in the meantime.
Okay. All right, we have 2 minutes left back. Anything you want to say? I mean, if it's not, then I'll pose a question. You could talk about viruses, but be sure and take a minute or two or so and revisit where people can find you. And I want people to know Dr. Yatsko's new book will be coming out this fall, and she will be back to talk about her new book when it comes out. At least that's my understanding, I hope.
It's called Roadmap to Health, and where I have spent, I started out in adult neurological inflammation and then spent many years working in autism, and now I've come full circle and am working with a lot more adults with a wide range of health concerns, because this pathway is so central to our health and well-being. And so the premise of the book, Roadmap to Health, is that this is a pathway all of us need to be concerned about and want to be supplementing and supporting to help for health and wellness, because the genetics come from somewhere. So that if we look at you again, Eva, with your C677T++, that means both your mom and your dad had to at least have had a single mutation in those pathways. When I work with a child with autism, I'm concerned about the health of both of the parents. And so all of this comes from somewhere, and it's something we all need to be thinking about. And you mentioned virus. Part of what these methyl groups that are generated by this pathway do, besides helping to turn on and turn off DNA properly and helping to silence things we don't want expressed, such as cancer, is they also help to silence virus. And so people who have problems with chronic viral infections in their body want to be looking at and thinking about this pathway also in terms of their health and wellness. People who've had problems with multiple miscarriages, again, this pathway plays a role when it comes to balancing the system so that's less of an issue, or neural tube defects are less of an issue. And so it's just the goal is to put the pathway in visual images that you can understand, and in layman's terms, and to relate it to traveling in a car and navigating roadways, which we all understand, so that you can get your arms around it and understand how to support your body so that we all can enjoy health now and in the future, and also for future generations, because how well methylated you are is something that you pass on to your children. And I'll end with a classic experiment that was done with mice. And the mice were genetically engineered to be completely identical. And the only difference was what the mothers were fed when they were pregnant. And one of the moms was fed nutrients that helped to support the pathway that I'm talking about, and the other one was not. And so you've got genetically identical mice, and when they had their litters, the mouse that was supported with nutrition had lovely brown-colored fur babies that were healthy without health issues. And the genetically identical mouse that was not supplemented had problems with fur color, the type of the fur, lack of color to the fur, obesity, as well as a number of other health issues. And so that's just a really easy way to see the difference, even if everything else is the same, in terms of looking at support for this pathway.
Thank you so much, Dr. Yasko. It's been a pleasure, and I really look forward to your coming back.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. Stay healthy and stay well.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Good night.
You too. Good night.